Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. It's been a crazy couple of days here of free agency frenzy, but don't worry, guys. We've got the right guy here to break it all down. That's Mike Tagliere. Mike, you've been surviving the past couple of days, man?
I've been surviving pretty well. I mean, there was a barrage. It feels like everything is coming in waves where it's not coming like spread out. It's like all of a sudden one thing happens, and then while you're writing something on that, something else is breaking, and it kind of makes me sad in a way, and I don't know if you're the same way. So yes, it's exciting to see these players going in different places, trades happening, but isn't part of it sad is that the NFL was always known as a place where I think a lot of players were known to be tied to a franchise. You know, when we talk about some of those guys, they were always tied, whereas like the NBA over the years has slowly like transitioned to where you never want to get attached to a player because he could be elsewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, the salary cap has made that, you know, a reality where we used to see these guys say in, you know, Dallas Cowboys for life, right? You know, and but now that just doesn't happen very often. And so, yeah, the salary cap definitely places a burden on that and makes that more of a reality. But on the flip side of it, it does make it a whole lot more entertaining for these kind of dates when we're talking about these guys moving teams, trades happening. You know, we're seeing so many more trades happen where it does feel like it's actually fantasy football.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and as a reminder, guys, you can find and follow Tags and I on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at MikeTaglierNFL. Well, let's get right to it, Tags. A lot has happened over the course of the last 24 to 48 hours. So for context, guys, we are recording this at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. So we may have some news break here while we're on the show, but we're going to run through each of these signings here that we've gotten word of to this point and just give the fantasy football impacts here. So before we move ahead, though, I need to tell you all about this awesome contest we're doing. Right now, thanks to Pristine Auction, we're giving away a signed Marquise Brown Ravens helmet. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and leave a review. Then take a screenshot of that review and email it to contest@fantasypros.com. It's that simple. For more details, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. And again, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for making that possible. Speaking of Pristine Auction, I want to make sure that we take a second to thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. Their daily auctions have hundreds of signed memorabilia items to choose from that you are going to want to check out. I was taking a look at some recent items that went, and I couldn't believe some of the prices. An Amari Cooper signed Dallas Cowboys Speed Mini Helmet went for $45. And a Darren Waller signed Nike Vapor Speed Football Cleat also went for only $45. Pristine Auction is the place to go to get your signed, authentic memorabilia of your favorite players at unbelievably affordable prices. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's PristineAuction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com to start building your dream man cave today. Let's start here with the biggest news of yesterday. Jimmy freaking Graham signs a 2-year $16 million deal with the Chicago Bears. Tags, is that the biggest deal of yesterday? It feels like it was.
It's the biggest load of crap yesterday is what it was. I mean, when I saw that, like, my wife immediately looked at me because it happened later in the day. And I think we just got done eating dinner, and it happened, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I she could see on my face. I didn't even have to say a word. She knew I was like disappointed or let down in something. And I said, "Jimmy freaking Graham." I really did think that Graham was closer to retirement than he was to contributing to an NFL team, especially for 2 years and $16 million. But I can't explain this one. I don't see any positives that come out of this one. Now, granted, he's still playing football, and the Bears obviously felt the need. Ryan Pace felt the need to go out and get him. This could be a domino effect, though. This could be a thing. And then, like, we've seen another signing with the Bears today where we may talk about. But everything the Bears are doing is suggesting that they're trying to win now. And then we're hearing whispers about Tom Brady. You know, like, obviously, we know Tom Brady's leaving New England. If you haven't heard that by now, you're probably living under a rock doing the whole social distancing thing. But if you're doing social media distancing as well, you may not have heard that. But anyways, Tom Brady's not going to be back in New England. He announced that. The Patriots announced it, all that.
Let's transition to immediately Tom Brady, because I mentioned it on our previous episode that this was the biggest domino that had to fall, right? We had to see where Tom Brady was going, because you just don't see the greatest quarterback of all time who has 6 Super Bowl championships. I saw this 17 division titles. Like, are you serious? You know, we just don't see that kind of player hit the free agent market. So now Tom Brady on the market, the teams that are linked to him right now are the Chargers and the Bucks. And again, we're recording this where we haven't heard news on it.
And I don't think that Tom Brady, like, in the Chargers, the one of the teams, obviously, I don't know if he wants to go up against Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the playoffs every single year to get to the Super Bowl. The NFC, I think there's a clearer path for him. I mean, the AFC, like, obviously, the Ravens, the Chiefs, those teams are going to be, like, legitimately almost impossible to get through. I don't see it. So you could talk about the Bucks, and I think that's where ultimately the Bucks are the favorites in Vegas right now. But in reality, that's a team that has a pretty horrid offensive line. That's a bad offensive line they've had. They don't even have the anchors in that offensive line. Donovan Smith's a joke. When you have guys in the Saints, like, mocking, you know, when they re-sign him to a contract, you know he's not very good. And it's like, you know, I know Bruce Arians is talking to get him there. And from a fantasy standpoint, I understand why people think that the Bucs are a good team. But that defense is going kind of through a rebuild period right now, especially in the secondary. So I don't think the Bucks give him the best chance to win. He would be playing against the Saints twice a year, the Falcons twice a year.
It's just crazy that we're talking about this. We're talking about Tom Brady as a free agent, and it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, hey, man, let's talk about one of the biggest things that happened yesterday. That was the Arizona Cardinals and Houston Texans pulling off a huge trade. And this is one that I think if you proposed in a fantasy football league or on Madden, it would be shut down immediately. Would get that little red bar there in Madden for the trade, saying no way. But DeAndre Hopkins goes to Arizona along with a 4th round pick for David Johnson, his entire salary too, a 2022nd and a 2021 4th round pick. Tags, is Bill O'Brien the worst GM/coach in the NFL currently?
This is what happens when you don't have a GM. Bill O'Brien's not a GM. There's this reason that they have different roles. You know what I mean? This is a joke. I mean, people are asking me about this. Like, give me some sort of legitimacy, like, why a team would do this. And there is none. There's absolutely none. They didn't like the contract of DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, but you guys love the fact that you gave a 3rd-round pick for Duke Johnson. Oh, you know, taking on we actually thought David Johnson's contract, the reason that the Cardinals weren't going to cut him, was it would have actually cost them money, like actual, like more money to cut him than it would have been like in terms of the dead cap space than to pay him to be on the roster. So we thought he would be traded away for nothing, basically trying to get someone to take on that salary. You might even have to do a Brock Osweiler situation.
I was just about to say that. We thought it would actually be like a Brock Osweiler, like take on a salary for a pick.
That's exactly what all of us thought. And then when you see this trade go down, you're like, I posted something on Twitter just saying that, you know, my kid, like Jonathan, he's in preschool and the school got shut down. So he's home, right? And he's running over trying to hit my computer, like the keys all the time while I'm working on free agency. But I thought that maybe something happened. Like, it was a mistake. Like, did this really happen? Like, did he forget to punch 2 first round picks and including, and none of it makes sense. And for those telling that come out after the fact and tell us that, oh, they didn't want to pay him, they didn't want to renegotiate his contract, he still had 3 years on it, he had this, he had that. You know what? I don't care. I don't really care what the rationale is. You do not get rid of good football players who have been great for your franchise. The guy has not, he doesn't miss games. He hasn't come out in the press and talked like Stephon Diggs does. He's not a loony bin like Antonio Brown. DeAndre Hopkins has been the model citizen for that franchise, and it's kind of a joke that they just shipped him off for absolutely nothing. And that's the worst part of being a Texans fan, is that not only did you lose your star player, you're basically taking away from Deshaun Watson. It's going to upset him. J.J. Watt's not happy about it, clearly. And it's just like, you got nothing in return. You got an aging running back who looked broken down. And I know his injuries added up, but David Johnson is not the David Johnson that you saw back, you know, with Bruce Arians in Arizona. This is not that running back. He has a lot of miles. He's a bigger body. He's wearing down. None of this, absolutely none of this makes sense. Texans, I'm sorry. Texans front office, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, had, like you mentioned, Tex, he had 3 years left on his current deal. And yes, he wanted an extension, but you have to take this into account. He has no leverage, right? Like, DeAndre Hopkins cannot sit out for three straight seasons.
Yeah, his career would be over.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. So he doesn't have any leverage there to try to get a new contract. There's been talks that he wanted the Michael Thomas money, which I think he deserves. Because again, we're talking about one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but yet he comes out and gets traded for this. It's abysmal, man. But let's talk about Houston and what they have there on offense now, because there are ramifications here. So you see, I think Deshaun Watson takes a step back because you're losing his top option. You now have Kiki QT, who has been injured, you know, up to this point of his career. Will Fuller, ditto, right? Like, he's a phenomenal talent when he's on the field, but he cannot stay healthy. And you have Kenny Stills. Am I missing anyone?
I mean, Randall Cobb. They signed Randall Cobb.
There's the answer.
You remember when Odell Beckham was traded, then they signed Golden Tate to like make up for it?
Right, right. Yep, that's that, but it's worse.
It is worse. It's worse because DeAndre Hopkins is that talent level, and Randall Cobb is not Golden Tate, not even close. And now you have like three slot receivers on that team, Bill O'Brien. What are you doing? Because like, Kenny Stills operates best when he's in the slot. Kiki QT is someone that we did like, and I have no idea what's going on there, but clearly Bill O'Brien has an issue with QT. I'm starting to think that Bill O'Brien is kind of like the Adam Gase of the Texans. And I mean, holding grudges against players, not putting him on the field, because Kiki QT, he can play football. And now you add Randall Cobb to the mix as a guy that's slot only, and I just don't know what they're doing there. They don't have many draft picks.
They don't.
It's all bad.
They don't, man. And that's what you needed to recoup. Because the Texans traded off, they sent so many picks away for that Laramie Tunsil deal. So they sent their first and second round picks this year. And didn't they send their first and second next year too?
I think it was a first next year, but they all, don't forget the Duke Johnson, he hit the escalator. And I think that they ended up giving up a third round pick for Duke Johnson that they don't use.
So they only have a second round pick this year. So if you were to trade DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, okay, we need to recoup what we gave away in that Tunsil deal to be able to offset it, to be able to balance it. Nope, not happening.
Well, not just that. Well, when you see we haven't talked about it yet, but when you see what the Bills gave for Stephon Diggs, a guy that's been causing problems for the Vikings. This literally got to me. This was one of those worst. This is potentially one of the worst trades of all time.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that, because it's really bad from a team building perspective, and from what you are now communicating to that locker room. If you're Bill O'Brien, you know, you just traded away your best receiver, one of the best receivers in the NFL, and someone who's beloved in that locker room. Man, it's really bad. So now you see potential opportunity for Will Fuller. I think from a fantasy football perspective, Will Fuller takes a little bit of a jump forward, right? If he can stay healthy. Kenny Stills is going to get a little bit of a bump too. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to bring in someone else to try to offset that. I think they still have a lot of cap room. So, you know, they could still go out and do that. But, man, it's really bad. And Deshaun Watson is going to take a step back. I'm not happy about it. Is there anyone else on the Texans that you wanted to talk about from a fantasy football perspective before we flip to Arizona?
I'm with you in regards to Watson. I dropped him down. I actually dropped him below Kyler Murray. I wasn't even very high on Kyler Murray before all this news broke. And then when you add DeAndre Hopkins back to Murray, Larry Fitzgerald coming back to the team, you can't help but raise him up. I put Kyler Murray up to my QB4 on my board right now. I moved.
Yeah, that's where he is for me too.
I moved Watson down to 6, and I might actually move him down to 7 behind Dak Prescott, to be honest with you. It's just you can't continue to remove weapons. Like DeAndre Hopkins, the loss cannot be understated in terms of what he offers when someone like Deshaun Watson's in trouble, because if he's one-on-one, you throw it to him, right? And you trust him to win in those contested catch situations. Will Fuller's not that guy. Kenny Stills is not that guy. Randall Cobb is certainly not that guy. So yes, I do anticipate them getting another receiver, but the issue is, where do they get him? If they have no draft picks, their offensive line is still kind of shot. It blows my mind what just happened.
Yeah, the only wide receiver that I think makes sense still is Robbie Anderson. However,
similar skill set to Fuller, though, right?
Exactly. So I think that's the only option that I'm really looking at on the free agent market. Otherwise, I just don't know who they're going to be going after. And like you said, they don't have the trade ammo to go up. In the second round, they could be looking at guys like maybe Michael Pittman, maybe Antonio Gandy-Golden if he goes that high. But it's like, how are you going to replace DeAndre Hopkins? Anyway, I think we've beaten that drum a little bit too much here. Let's talk about David Johnson, though, really quick. He comes over to Houston. Now, does David Johnson have anything left in the tank?
I mean, last year, down the stretch, it did not look like it. I mean, people kind of overblew what it was at the beginning of the year. I thought he was just fine in terms of like what he did before the injuries started piling up. But when he came back from the injuries, it was clear why Kenyon Drake was getting the playing time. It was clear why the Cardinals wanted to move on. Everything about it. And all of a sudden, David Johnson doesn't fit this offense that goes 4 wide. Why the hell wouldn't David Johnson fit that offense? It was an excuse. And this stuff cracks me up. It's like when you hear about teams like, you know, moving on from a player like Eric Ebron, for example, like two teams moving on from him in his prime, one that spent a first round pick on him, that tells you that he's not the player that people expected him to be. Austin Hooper kind of fits that mold right now, is that, you know, the Falcons drafted him. Like there's so many things. So when you see something like this with David Johnson, a team willing to move on and make an excuse that, oh, he doesn't fit. If David Johnson could still play and he can't fit your offense, that's a you problem. That's not a David Johnson problem. So he's a true 3-down back, but yes, unfortunately, I think he is towards the end of his career, and the Texans have not used their running backs in the passing game, and now they have like 10 slot receivers, so that's the intermediate area of the field. So I mean, they have Duke Johnson. He's like a high-end RB3 is where I'm going to put him right now. Maybe a low-end 2. You could talk me into that. I think I can go that way, but he's certainly not going to be the reason you win fantasy championships.
Yeah, that's very true. That's the Houston side of it. Let's go to Arizona really quick. Kenyon Drake receives the transition tag there in Arizona. He's the guy in that backfield. So Kenyon Drake, where are we looking at him from a dynasty perspective, from, you know, for 2020 redraft? What's Kenyon Drake's stock at right now?
I really want to see him sign a long-term deal with the Cardinals. I'd love to see them like work that out, because obviously the foundation's in place. They have Hopkins there for 3 years. They're going to work out an extension with him. That's going to happen. If they get Drake under contract for 3 or 4 years, that makes a lot of sense, because he obviously fits what they're trying to do on offense. He's a guy with under 500 career carries. Like he has not been used and abused. He's ready for a workhorse role. He showed that last year. He showed it in Miami, even though the Adam Gase just refused to use him. I have him right now as my RB9 in redraft leagues. I put him ahead of Leonard Fournette because I am worried about Fournette's offense. Drake is obviously, you know, they value him putting that transition tag on him because they can only use one transition tag or franchise tag under the new CBA. And then when it comes to dynasty, I'm a little bit more hesitant just because we don't know about that long-term deal. We don't know if this is like the Cardinals playing that year-to-year bit with a running back. We don't know. So I have him as my RB12 in Dynasty. But if they do sign him to, like, let's say it's a 3 or 4 year deal, I would be moving him up to probably around RB8, RB9 territory.
That's very fair. So let's play this game. Okay, Kenyon Drake next year or Josh Jacobs?
I have Drake there because I have more confidence in the offense overall. You see the Raiders sign Marcus Mariota, and it doesn't inspire confidence.
Let's go Kenyon Drake or Aaron Jones.
That was exactly that. That's where like I had the difficult time.
That's the line.
I think that Drake is actually safer. I'm going to be honest about it. I think he's safer, but I do have Aaron Jones at 8 right now, Drake at 9, because the potency of the offense. I do believe that the Packers offense should become a bit more potent this year. I think Aaron Rodgers should bounce back, unless it's, you know, the offense is just going to be limiting, or if he's heading towards a decline of his career. We don't know, but Aaron Jones is electric. The issue, though, the issue and why he's riskier than someone like Kenyon Drake is that Matt LaFleur has openly talked about the fact that, you know, what they did last year worked. They kept him fresh throughout the year, and they've even talked about adding a third running back to the rotation. That's worrisome. So, you know, if we keep hearing about this, I don't think there's any reason to doubt it, considering that's what LaFleur did all last year. So I might move Aaron Jones behind Kenyon Drake, you know, depending on what we hear and see as the offseason progresses.
Yeah, and for those who have held on to Kenyon Drake in dynasty leagues all this time, congratulations, because that hit big time. DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, you know, that's a loaded wide receiver core right there. Okay, you have Christian Kirk, Andy Isabella, Hakeem Butler, you have Larry Fitzgerald still, Keyshawn Johnson. Like, this is it's unproven talent outside of maybe Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, those kind of guys, but it's loaded, and now you have, I mean, they want to go four wide, right? And so you're going to have these wide receivers on the field all the time. Is DeAndre Hopkins' ceiling as high as it was in Houston?
I'm going to say no on that, because they do go with that four wide receiver set. They do spread the ball around. They do use their running backs in the passing game, something that the Texans didn't do. Fortunately, the Arizona Cardinals have a crap defense. You know, going out to get a receiver like that, some people talked about them taking like a CeeDee Lamb or a Jerry Jeudy with that number 8 overall pick that they have in the NFL draft. But now, so it's clear that they felt Christian Kirk isn't the guy. They wanted a prototypical number 1. And I think Christian Kirk was always best suited for that Golden Tate role, like where you play him in a slot heavy formation. And that's kind of like Larry Fitzgerald's going to move on. They do use 2 slot receivers an awful lot with those 4 wide receiver sets. So it's a good spot for Christian Kirk. But unfortunately, it's going to cap his target total. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to see the consistent 9, 10, 11 targets per game that he was getting in Houston. We can't forget that he's seeing basically at least 150 targets per year. With the 4 wide receivers there, the running back there, it's not a 650 pass attempt team like we have the Tampa Bay Bucks. Fortunately, it is a team that has a bad defense, and we're going to see them, you know, they're going to pump up the pass attempts, obviously, to stay in games, and I would expect them to unleash Kyler Murray a little bit more in year 2. So I'm anticipating Hopkins to be at somewhere in that 135 to 145 target range, and that is going to lower his ceiling, whereas in Houston, he had 170 target upside.
Yeah, I have him currently in half PPR at wide receiver 17, so I did drop him down a little bit because, again, the targets, I just don't think that they're going to be the same total. I could move him up a little bit, but I have him right in the range of like Adam Thielen, Cortland Sutton, those kind of guys for 2020. Again, I'll have to do some more like deep digging there to see how exactly that plays out, but that's kind of where I have him now. So if more than anything, though, this is a huge investment into Kyler Murray. And like you said, you have him all the way up at QB4. I really like that spot because that's where I have him too.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you could say. Like, you know, people have been talking about Kyler Murray is Lamar Jackson in 2020, and I'm not going to go that far. I mean, Kyler Murray, he's a slippery quarterback, and he's someone that's difficult to get your hands on, but he's not someone that's going to rush for 1,000 yards. He's not Lamar Jackson. Does he have more upside as a passer? I mean, it's hard to argue with what Lamar Jackson did, but I think we can all agree coming into 2019 that we would have said Kyler Murray's ceiling as a passer is probably better than Lamar Jackson. But again, when you add these weapons in there and you put Kenyon Drake back there and you see how the offense took a step forward, getting Fitzgerald back as a safety blanket, moving Kirk maybe back into the slot where he belongs, there's a lot of things to like about it. And when you add in the rushing potential there for, like, I could see him as like a 600 yard type rusher, and that's plenty of fantasy value. Rushing a couple touchdowns. Yeah, Kyler Murray is a guy that I'm definitely, I moved up my board because I want to say I had him as QB8 before this, so I wasn't like crazy high on him, but I definitely moved him up. And I think it's great. I mean, I definitely moved Hopkins' ceiling down, but I moved him down to wide receiver 6. So I'm not doing that. Like, I would still take Hopkins over someone like Amari Cooper. I would take him over Mike Evans, not knowing what's going on in Tampa Bay right now, because, I mean, that's a team they threw the ball almost 700 times last year. That's going to die down. They want Jameis to limit the turnovers. He needs to become a safer quarterback, or if they pick up Brady, Brady can't throw the deep ball at this point in his career. I think even Tom Brady knows that. I'm still high on Hopkins. It's just I don't think he's a round 1 receiver anymore. I think that I'm okay with him in the middle of the second round.
Sure. Yeah. And again, I may have been a little bit too harsh dropping him all the way down to 17, but I just don't see the target totals there. So he could make up for it in touchdown upside, But again, with how much they have to spread the ball around, or how much they do spread the ball around.
Well, fortunately, they don't throw to their tight ends at all, so that helps.
Right, that's true. So that does make up for it a little bit. And we're not going in order here, guys, of when these announcements came out. So the next one up is Teddy Bridgewater reportedly agreeing to a 3-year, $60 million deal with Carolina. So the flip side of this is that Cam Newton was given permission to seek a trade. Now, there's been a whole lot of chatter of if he was given permission or if he actually was forced to seek a trade. So let's talk about Teddy Bridgewater super quick. This is the same offense, and he's reunited with Joe Brady. Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator for LSU this past season. He was in New Orleans previously, so reunited there with Joe Brady, and we see him now. He knows that offense really, really well. He's going to step in. What does this do for guys like DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, maybe even Ian Thomas?
Yeah, I was just looking at this. I was writing up a quick react once that signing took place with Bridgewater, and I like it for DJ Moore. I really do, because DJ Moore was the one that was producing with no matter who was at quarterback. He obviously was a little inconsistent until he got into a bigger role with Cam Newton under center. But then they moved on, and this year playing with multiple quarterbacks, doing well, even fringing on that wide receiver one conversation. The reason I like him so much is that Curtis Samuel showed no consistency in his game. There was nothing there. Honestly, I've seen some people saying to buy him because of the addition of Bridgewater. I'm opposed to it. I'm saying sell the hype, because when Bridgewater took over in New Orleans, he did love to lock onto his top target, and he only supported one really fantasy relevant player, and that was Michael Thomas, who he peppered with targets. I went through and looked at it during week 2 through 7 when he played for Drew Brees. Michael Thomas saw 33% of the targets. I cannot explain how ridiculous that number is. I mean, if you get 25%, it's high. 30% is like elite. And then he got 33%. So if there's one player that I know you can lock onto in that offense, it's DJ Moore. I think they need to add another wide receiver who can play on the perimeter, maybe stretch the field. Maybe they get that in free agency. Maybe they have to go after someone like Robbie Anderson, or even through the draft. It's a great draft to need a wide receiver, especially someone who can help stretch the field a little bit. And kind of, you could probably put Curtis Samuel in the slot a little bit more now that Jarius Wright is out of town. So I do like this for DJ Moore. I'm going to put him in high-end wide receiver 2 territory. I don't think that he's a wide receiver 1 just yet, knowing there's some uncertainty, right? We don't know how this offense is going to function. We do anticipate that defense being horrendous, which typically leads to more pass attempts, but we also know that this offense does flow through Christian McCaffrey, and we can't forget that.
Right. Yeah, my only, and I wrote this up in our instant reaction articles that we've been doing over at Fantasy Pros. I wrote this up that I was like, this offense should take a step forward. However, this is on the premise that Christian McCaffrey actually plays this year. He's eligible for a contract extension. Is he going to play this season without a new contract after how much work they gave him last year? I just don't know.
I think they're going to end up giving him an extension of some sort, because like after this whole debacle that's going on with Cam Newton right now, if you guys haven't heard, Cam Newton, they have granted him access. And I'm putting that in quotes here because they said they've granted him the ability to go seek a trade. And Cam Newton came out after that and said, I never asked for anything. I didn't want to be traded. You guys are the ones who are pushing me to do this. And it's a weird thing right now where they're going to get a lot of negative PR because of this. I know there's a lot of Panthers fans who love Cam Newton, and he did a lot of things for that city. They're going to need some positive press, and I would anticipate them working out some with Christian McCaffrey. Otherwise, they're going to be looked at. I mean, their fans are just going to be extremely upset. So I would anticipate them doing something with McCaffrey to extend him, knowing how he's played. He's outperformed that contract. And as a running back, I do not blame Christian McCaffrey if he wants to hold out. Some wide receivers have gone through this, and I don't blame an NFL player for holding out, you know, but especially the running backs, because these teams, we've seen it constantly. Teams are using and abusing those running backs, and then they're just letting them go to the wind. They don't even care. Like, so why should a player care if he's not being taken care of at the end of that contract? So I have no issue with it. But fortunately, I don't think it's something that we're going to have to worry about, because the Panthers are going to take care of him.
Yeah, and especially a running back of his caliber, right? It's one thing for running backs to hold out, but it's a running back of his caliber and what he's done to hold out. So, all right, so Cam Newton is kind of this uncertainty right now, and you mentioned it. So in this quarterback free agent market, are we going to see him end up anywhere for fantasy football?
That's the part where I'm really curious. I mean, I've looked around, and I'm trying to figure out the places. I think Tom Brady falling wherever he does is going to decide a lot of things, right? And we're hearing, I think there's only 2 teams that we're hearing about. There could be more in the mix. We're hearing that Phillip Rivers is probably going to sign with the Colts. We don't have any certainty on that as of the time we're recording this, rumors and all that. But, you know, depending, let's say that Brady goes to the Bucks. If he goes to the Bucks, then we could see Cam Newton go to the Chargers. If he goes to the Chargers, I'm guessing that they're going to re-sign Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. And then where does Cam Newton end up? We have these quarterbacks in the draft. You know, people were talking about potentially five quarterbacks going in the first. I wasn't one of them. I do know for a fact that Joe Burrow is going to go in the first and Tua is going to go in the first. I would anticipate probably Justin Herbert, but I don't even think that's a guarantee now that all of these quarterbacks have kind of hit the open market. And, you know, Andy Dalton might be a free agent before long. Josh Rosen's going to have to go somewhere because Miami's not going to carry all three quarterbacks. So I just don't know right now. I mean, people are suggesting the Bears. I'm going to speak truly as a Bears fan. I don't want Cam Newton on a one-year deal here. I don't want to trade for him. I feel like Newton is at the point in his career where it's really tough. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's not a baller. He was a guy that changed the way you approached a team. A lot can be said about that. He was a dominating guy for a long time. But now that the injuries have piled up, now that he can't run the ball like he used to, when you get over 30 as a quarterback, your mobility just goes down, especially someone 6'5", over 250 pounds. That's going to decline. And if that happens, he needs to rely on his arm, something that has never really happened. I think that there's 1 year in his career where he's thrown more than 24 touchdowns. That is not something. I mean, the Bears need a game manager. Is Cam Newton that? I don't think so. I really don't. I would prefer Andy Dalton or Tom Brady. I think those guys are better suited for what the Bears do. But I mean, I think we're running out of spots. Do you have a landing spot that makes sense for Cam Newton?
Not the one that you haven't mentioned. So, I mean, for me, Los Angeles Chargers make a ton of sense. They want more mobility at the quarterback position. You just have to wonder at this point in his career, is Tyrod Taylor, you know, that much less of an option than Cam Newton? Specifically because we haven't even mentioned this, Cam Newton's still coming off of, you know, he's still recovering from his injury. So we just don't know his health at this point. So that's a big factor here too. So it's just one of those things where we just don't know yet. But I think with Cam Newton, LA makes the most sense. Otherwise, man, it's really, really hard to see him, you know, landing somewhere. It's kind of the same thing with Jameis Winston. Like, okay, Jameis Winston's not having suitors on the free agent market, right? It's essentially it's Tampa Bay if they don't get Tom Brady and no one else. So, you know, it's one of those things like there are a ton of quarterbacks available and not enough chairs, like you said. So it's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And with the whole virus thing, like people like not able to travel nearly as much as they were before, you know, maybe potentially being shut down here at some point. How are teams even going to give Cam Newton a physical to make sure that he's okay to trade for him?
Right. Yeah, it's a very fair point. Before we move on with the show, I wanted to take a quick second and make sure you're aware of where you can find and follow us on social media. Head over to Twitter and Instagram to find us at Fantasy Pros for interesting free agency related content. And follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Pros NFL for the latest and breaking free agency news. All right, so the first signing that we actually got wind of yesterday was Austin Hooper to the Cleveland Browns. He receives a 4-year, $44 million contract. Tags, we see Kevin Stefanski coming over from Minnesota. They ran a lot of two tight end sets there. Is this what we're seeing here, or are we seeing potentially David Njoku being moved somewhere?
I mean, when I started to think about it a little bit more, it kind of made sense in terms of the two tight end sets, but those two and the skill sets that they bring, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. I really don't. I think David Njoku, his days are numbered if they can get something for him. If not, they're going to trot them both out there. And if we go back and look at Stefanski when he was in Minnesota and how he used Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph, it was 49 targets and 48 targets between the two of them. Even if you consolidated those into one player and put them into that offense and gave them all to Austin Hooper, which isn't going to happen, he doesn't have as many targets as he did this year with the Falcons through 13 or 14 games. So it's a real problem for me. And this, I believe that Austin Hooper is going to go from a guy that was ascending in his career to a guy that many are going to consider a free agent bust. And I say that because you think about the Falcons and the fact that they spent a third round draft pick on this guy just a couple of years ago. His career was ascending in the right direction. Why didn't they want to hang on to this player? They just let him go. Like, you know what I mean? There was no fight for him. No, like, we're going to try and hang on to him. Nope, we're going to let him hit free agency. And then they felt that the tight end position was so impactful that they needed to go and trade a second round pick for Hayden Hurst. So it's like there's things here where Atlanta knows exactly who Austin Hooper is throughout the course of his NFL career and felt that trading a second round pick was better than keeping him on the roster. That is the part to me that I think they knew what they had. I think they knew what the potential was with someone like Hayden Hurst. And I posted on Twitter yesterday, my hot take is that Hayden Hurst is a better fantasy football commodity than Austin Hooper in 2020.
It's fair. Let's double back to Hayden Hurst here in a second. With the 4-year, $44 million contract, did you expect him to get more?
I did. I mean, I thought it was crazy to find out that that's actually the biggest contract that a tight end has in the NFL. Now,
right. I did, too.
George Kittle's going to surpass that. That's going to happen.
Oh, completely.
Like that's, and I would expect Travis Kelce to re-up at some point. They're going to pass that. And Mark Andrews is going to get his. And there's a lot of tight ends that are coming up that are going to get that, right? But am I shocked that he didn't get more? In a way. But just the only reason that I say that is because it's such a weak tight end draft. There's really no one in the draft that anybody can point to and say, this is a long-term guy that you could rely on. You know what I mean? Everybody has, you know, their flaws as a prospect. So it's probably right around where I would have guessed. Maybe a little bit short of that, considering how fast the signing took place. That means there was obviously interest in him right away. So I was just more shocked about the landing spot than anything, considering I felt like David Njoku was like a post-hype guy, where it was like, okay, buy in on this guy, get him really cheap with Stefanski coming there. But now, I mean, if they hang on to him, I don't even think you want to draft Hooper as anything more than like maybe like a high-end tight end too, if David Njoku remains there.
Man, it's fair. I mean, like you mentioned, the targets just aren't there. And Stefanski's bringing over that offense that we saw last year. Baker's going to be Kirk Cousins, right? Like this is, you're just essentially, you have Dalvin Cook. Now Nick Chubb, you know, like these players that are just going to be stepping right into these roles that we saw last year. And again, we really didn't see a ton of targets there for, you know, you weren't playing Kyle Rudolph or Irv Smith in fantasy last year, you know, so how are you going to be saying that I can roll out Austin Hooper or David Njoku?
Well, not just that, like you had, and that's the weird part is, right, like we look at those targets that went to those tight ends last year, and that's with Adam Thielen missing most of the year. They had no other options outside of Stephon Diggs, so you had to think some of those targets would funnel the tight end, and they did, but not nearly as many as people think. And now it's like going to Cleveland, not only do you have Odell, not only do you have Jarvis, not only do you have Njoku that you have to worry about, but you also have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who they tendered a second round pick, which means Kareem Hunt is not going anywhere. So it's like the targets, I would be shocked if Austin Hooper got 75 targets this year.
Oh, completely. It would have to take an injury.
Yeah.
Up in front to one of those guys that you just mentioned for that to happen. Okay, so let's look at the other side of that. Hayden Hurst, who was a first round pick by Baltimore, what, 2 years ago now? 25 at the time, and now comes to Atlanta here for a second round pick, which I did not see happening. So Hayden Hurst, along with a 2024th round pick, is dealt to Atlanta for a 2022nd and a 2025th. You mentioned it, Tags. You're going out a little bit there on a limb, but I don't hate it. Hayden Hurst could be a better fantasy football tight end for 2020 than Austin Hooper.
Yes, and the part that drives me nuts about this whole Hayden Hurst thing is that people, they mock the Ravens for drafting both these tight ends, and I'm guilty of the fact that it never should have happened, right? They drafted both Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews in the same draft with high picks, and people mocked the fact that they drafted Hayden Hurst. I like Hayden Hurst as a tight end. I think he's extremely versatile. He reminded me a lot of Greg Olsen coming out. Not a great blocker. He tried adding some weight last offseason to get on the field a little bit more, and he did. He caught 30 of 39 targets for 349 yards and 2 touchdowns. Based on what we've seen out of Hayden Hurst in the NFL, he can play. That's not the issue. The issue is that he just happens to be behind a really good freaking tight end. Mark Andrews is, I think, better. Even the people that liked him coming out of Oklahoma, I don't think anyone could have anticipated that he might be the number 3 tight end in the NFL right now. And he's doing so much. I think people have like thrown it into the wind that the tight ends typically struggle out of the gate. It's remarkable what Mark Andrews has done. So that we should not make that like negatively impact the way we feel about Hayden Hurst. Obviously the Falcons didn't either. This is a guy that they used a first round pick on him. He is a bit older. He's a former baseball prospect. He's an incredible athlete, and I think they could use him all over. And by the way, if you look at Austin Hooper's two biggest years, obviously the last 2 years of the, like in 2018, 2019, when he finished as a top 6 tight end in both years, that's when Calvin Ridley came aboard. All of a sudden Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, those guys draw coverages. They draw safeties. You're going to see Hayden Hurst lined up with a linebacker a lot of times. He's going to be wide open a lot of times. And Matt Ryan happens to love his tight end. So I love Hayden Hurst this year. And honestly, when I do projections later in the year, I don't do them right now. But as I get closer to the season, I would not be shocked if I rank him as a top 10 tight end.
Yeah, and the crazy part about all this is that I guarantee that people have dropped Hayden Hurst in dynasty leagues. Like, I guarantee that he's on the waiver wire somewhere, because no one was calling for this to happen, right? No one was saying that Hayden Hurst is going to be traded for a second round pick. We would have all called you crazy. But it happens. It's the NFL. Another item that happened yesterday that I think a lot of people said wouldn't have happened, but did, Stephon Diggs is traded to the Buffalo Bills here. Diggs, along with a 7th rounder, goes to Buffalo in exchange for a 2021st, a 2025th, 2026th, and a 2021 fourth. So, Tags, Stephon Diggs here in Buffalo, what's the impact here? Are we kind of saying a prayer of goodnight here to John Brown?
Yeah, that's the part that really that stunk, because I'm a big fan of John Brown. I've been for a long time. He was actually on the show a couple of years ago. I got to talk to him. Really nice guy. But we did see down the stretch, like teams, like once he ran into some of the tougher competition that he was going to play with those number one cornerbacks, he wasn't best suited for that. Josh Allen, he's not a guy that's extremely accurate, and John Brown is not a very big guy with a big catch radius. So getting Stephon Diggs is a little puzzling, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense. Stephon Diggs is the type of receiver who can get open at any level of the field, including deep, and that's where Josh Allen is known to be actually, you know, the highlight of his game is that he's got a big arm. Unfortunately, he hasn't been very accurate with that arm. I won't sit here and say that getting Stephon Diggs isn't going to make that better, but Kirk Cousins has been significantly better at throwing the deep ball the last 2 years than Josh Allen has. And I highlighted that in an article I did on Stephon Diggs being traded to the Bills, but I do think that there's an increase in volume for Diggs here. I don't think many people realize that both Cole Beasley and John Brown both saw over 100 targets last year, and that's, you know, this was a run-heavy attack. I think they were the seventh run-heaviest team in the NFL, and that yet they had two wide receivers over 100 targets. You're going to see John Brown dialed back probably to the 75-80 target mark, Beasley probably in the same territory, and then you're going to see Stephon Diggs start to steal some of those targets that maybe someone like Dawson Knox was supposed to get. But Diggs, I think people underestimate just how good Stephon Diggs is at football. I believe he's a definite top five route runner. Some have made the case that he's the number one route runner in the NFL, but the targets have always been an issue with Minnesota. He's going to get an increase in targets while in Buffalo because, again, he had 95 targets this season with Adam Thielen on the bench for most of it. It drives me bananas, but I believe that Stephon Diggs is going to be a wide receiver two in fantasy football who lacks upside of a wide receiver one. You're going to get more consistent play than I think you think, but that's why I'm calling him a middling wide receiver two. I think I put him in as my number, as my wide receiver 18 right now, just behind Calvin Ridley.
Okay, yeah, for me, it makes a little bit of sense with Buffalo because you have John Brown working the field deep. You have Stephon Diggs now working the intermediate levels of the field, and then you have Cole Beasley working everything underneath. So as far as like a wide receiver trio, it makes sense. However, I think we were expecting someone who was a little bit bigger, who had a little bit more of a catch radius. That's why a lot of people were talking about like T. Higgins, you know, there in the first round out of Clemson in this year's draft. But so Buffalo must have looked at it and said, no, we don't like the wide receivers that are going to be there. For us, we're going to go out and get a proven player. And they gave up quite a bit. I mean, that 2021st and the fifth, sixth, and fourth round next year, that's quite a haul for Stephon Diggs. Maybe they should have talked to Houston about DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, did they know that Tom Brady was going to be leaving New England? Because this is their window, right? Because things were leaking out. Tom Brady did not announce until this morning, but they may have gotten word through the league that he wasn't returning to the Patriots. So,
yeah. All right. Now I have Rappaport news. Joe Schobert, Browns linebacker, is headed to the Jaguars on a 5-year, $53.75 million deal. It's a big deal.
That is. That's a big contract. I mean, it's not surprising, though. I mean, that team is really hurting for linebackers right now. They just don't know what's going on with a lot of their players. And Miles Jack was not very good last year. So, that's a big contract, though, for Schobert.
It is, but he's a good player. I like it. All right. So another re-sign here that we need to talk about. It's your guy here, Tags. Amari Cooper resigns in Dallas, a 5-year, $100 million contract. So what does this mean for fantasy football?
I mean, he finishes the wide receiver 9 last year, but and this is coming from someone that loves Amari Cooper as the player. He was not the 9th best fantasy wide receiver in football. He was a little bit inconsistent again, and this has been an ongoing thing throughout the course of his career, where I think Amari Cooper is the type of guy that you want as a high-end wide receiver too, that offers you massive weeks at times. He's going to finish as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, but that doesn't mean he should be drafted as one because he's a little inconsistent. But getting him as a wide receiver too, if you're able to land him, you know, in the third round, that's ideal. I don't know if he's going to last that long, but now being tied to Dak Prescott, it's a new, I don't want to say a new offense, but McCarthy coming to town, things are going to change a little bit. But he hasn't seen very many targets in Dallas. I think people are underestimating the fact that Amari Cooper's not getting 150 targets like guys like DeAndre Hopkins are. if he did get those targets, I promise you Amari Cooper would be drafted at the end of the first round in fantasy football.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, I do love Amari Cooper, the player, the route runner, you know, just the wide receiver. And he does have those huge game abilities. You know, he's seeing games. What was it, Eagles last year, where he finished with 3 touchdowns, you know, in that game? Like, that was, it's a big game. And those are the, that's the type of ability that he brings to your lineup. But again, it's going to be, are you willing to pay that price tag on Amari Cooper from a fantasy football perspective with ADP, where you're saying, okay, I'm investing in him as my wide receiver one. I think you're going to be a little bit let down. I'm on the same side there with you, Tags. But it's a great signing for Dallas because they gave up a first round pick for him. They had to keep him in town. You know, this is one of those, if they let him go for nothing, it was going to be really concerning. And it's great news for Dak Prescott, right? If you lose Amari Cooper and you have Dak as a dynasty owner, you're now looking at Michael Gallup.
They'd be drafting a wide receiver with their first pick, I would assume.
They would be absolutely be drafting a wide receiver, but it's like you have no one, right? Because now Randall Cobb's in Houston. And so, yeah, for Dak Prescott, it's a great signing and great that they're linked together now for a long time, assuming we can get a long-term deal there for Dak. All right, so staying in Dallas, though, Dolphins are closing in on a deal for Eagles running back Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, it's done. You're right in terms of closing in, but it seems like it's done.
I would, yeah. That came from Rappaport, breaking news. I like that. He's going to get work.
I still think they're going to draft someone.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I think it pushes the cart down the road a little bit, don't you think?
You would think it would, but they have no depth. Like, basically, they not only needed a starting running back, they needed depth because Patrick Laird is not a number two.
How dare you insult Patrick Laird like that?
What about Kalen Ballage? Anybody for Kalen Ballage anymore?
You can insult Kalen Ballage. You're fine with that one.
Miles Gaskin, Samaje Perine. Yes, he's still in the league.
I forgot Samaje Perine was there. Oh, goodness.
It's a terrible depth chart. So I think this is a depth move. It is what it is. I still think they're going to add a running back. Maybe not the first round. The reason that nobody ever wants to mock running backs in the first round, I get it, and I understand why, and not really any team necessarily needs a running back that bad that they have to draft one in the first round, but it always happens, and part of the reason is because they get that fifth-year option with running backs that they don't get drafting them outside the first round. And those first 5 years of a running back's career, let's face it, that is their career. So could we still see it with them having 3 first-round picks? Yeah, I think we can, but at the same time, it could push it back to maybe the second, third round. It's a decent running back class, so they can get someone later if they wanted to.
Yeah, I would expect them to be bringing in someone later, maybe as like a really good complement, you know, like a pass-catching back there to Jordan Howard in Miami, but we don't have the contract information yet because, again, they're closing in on the deal, so we just don't have the breakdown there. If it's a multi-year deal, yeah, I think he's the main guy. If it's a 1 year, you know, $5 million, $6 million deal, I wouldn't put it past them to be drafting someone there with those top 5 picks in the first two rounds that they have. Okay, anyway, so let's double back here. We're doubling back to Dallas. Blake Jarwin signed a 3-year extension with the Dallas Cowboys. This is super interesting. 25 years old, had 31 receptions for 365 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2019. Jason Witten, I'm assuming, is gone. You know, if he comes back, dear goodness, Jerry Jones. But is Blake Jarwin suddenly fantasy football relevant?
I think you have to consider him, but he's more in the streaming conversation. I don't think he's going to be a weekly one because you do have Michael Gallup, who's entering the third year of his NFL career. He should blossom. I mean, he finished as a top 24 wide receiver last year, so he kind of already did. You have Ezekiel Elliott's going to be catching passes. You have Tony Pollard there, obviously Amari Cooper. And by the way, another tidbit of news on Amari Cooper. Another reason it was so big for Dallas is because the next highest bidder, or I should say the higher bidder for the Amari Cooper sweepstakes, was in the division. The Washington Redskins tried to get Amari. And that route running duo of Terry McLaurin and Amari Cooper would have been straight up nasty. But he passed on more money to sign with the Cowboys because he feels like he can win a championship there. And that's admirable, you know, and I also think it's better for Amari Cooper to play in a dome. Over the course of his career, he's been much better inside domes, and that comes down to route running.
Dude, you know what I just realized? It's Amari Cooper, Alabama, and Washington. It's another Alabama guy. Why didn't we put that connection together? Jason Moore did, didn't he, on our recent podcast there with him? I think
he suggested that. We were thinking the Eagles or the Redskins, that he would have been staying in the division. It would have kind of made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Interesting. So Blake Jarwin is nothing more than just a guy that, you know, I have him in our league tags and I completely forgot that I had him on our roster, on my roster. I think he's just one of those nice surprises that could rotate in those good matchups, whatever. But I don't think he's going to be suddenly a top 5 tight end. for fantasy football. So, all right. So we'll mention a couple more here. Drew Brees re-signed in New Orleans for a 2-year, $50 million contract. I think it's good for New Orleans, you know, but again, we all kind of saw that coming and we all predicted it. So the money is a little bit surprising there, and especially a 2-year. I would have expected a 1-year.
That's what I thought too, and I'm curious the breakdown of it. But he said he took a 2-year team friendly deal to that so that they could spend some money in other places. This is a team that I really do believe is built to win a Super Bowl right now. I think Drew Brees knows that, and I think that the franchise knows that. And so it's like when you're looking at them, you know, drafting this year, you have to look at it and say, what piece helps them right now? And, you know, I know Ted Ginn was fine for them once he got there. Tre'Quan Smith was someone they had high hopes for, but I think they need to add another wide receiver to Michael Thomas, because you don't want Thomas to go down and then your season go down the tubes because he has to miss time. I think they need to add another wide receiver to complement Michael Thomas, and that's what I would look to. Maybe with their first round pick, I think someone like Justin Jefferson makes tons of sense. But their entire roster, I mean, it's built to win right now. I'm really happy for Drew Brees, and I'm happy to see guys like him and Tom Brady they've done it over the years, where they take lesser money in order to make the team around them better.
Yeah, and then another guy that I just want to make sure that we mention it. We saw Case Keenum sign a deal with the Cleveland Browns to come in and be the backup to Baker Mayfield. This is not any sort of like competition for Baker or anything like that. He knows the system there. He was with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota, so brings him back in to back up there. It's a good signing, a 3-year deal too, but I really like that as a backup there in Cleveland.
Hey, and the details came out on Jordan Howard, by the way. 2 years, $10 million.
Okay.
That's right in between, right?
Yeah, it's literally right in between of what I said. So it depends on what the guaranteed money is. If it's like $5 million, then they're going to cut him next year. If it is guaranteed, you know, $7.5 million, I would assume that they're going to hold on to him for next year. But again, for those who were holding on to Jordan Howard in dynasty leagues, I was one of them. I like it. I like the landing spot there. I don't think he's going to be suddenly a top 12 running back, but I think they're going to invest heavily in that offensive line in the draft. Miami has been killing free agency, man. So I'm actually like excited about them. I'm actually maybe becoming a closet Miami Dolphins fan.
Uh-oh, that cannot be good.
Additionally, guys, we saw another quarterback sign, Marcus Mariota. He goes to Las Vegas to join Derek Carr in that quarterback room. So I haven't seen official terms on this contract yet, Tags. Have you seen anything?
I haven't. And that's the thing, is like they were one of the teams that you should have been watching out for in the draft, that maybe potentially drafting a quarterback, you know, around that 12th pick or maybe even 19. Now they've added some linebackers to their defense, and it's like, okay, that answered some of those questions. So it's like, are they going to go quarterback? And then they signed Mariota. And I mean, apparently this goes back to Mike Mayock being super high on Marcus Mariota back when he was drafted. So he had him as the number one quarterback on his board. He's getting him on the team. I can't see them carrying both Carr, Mariota, and another quarterback that they draft. So, I mean, carrying three quarterbacks just makes no sense. So I think what this signing does, I don't think it does anything for fantasy purposes. He's going to be behind Carr. But what it does is actually changes the landscape of the draft.
Yeah. I think the NFL Combine, where Mayock was back in the booth with Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah, and he was talking about how people are, you know, constantly talking about Derek Carr, but it's like they really didn't give Derek Carr a fighting chance last year. You know, there were a lot of they didn't really have many wide receivers there. They tried with Antonio Brown. That didn't work, obviously. So, like, I think Derek Carr, giving him one more year, I'm still in the camp that Derek Carr can be a very good quarterback. He's one of those guys that needs weapons, right? Like, he's not going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL, but if you surround him with the right weapons, he can make an offense move. And so now you have guys like Darren Waller, you know, Josh Jacobs. I would expect them to target potentially CeeDee Lamb there at pick number 12, or Judy if he's there, right? So, and don't even count out Henry Ruggs there too. So yeah, I think for them, this is signaling, hey, we're bringing in Marcus Mariota, gives us a high quality backup, creates some sort of competition there with Derek Carr, but yet Derek Carr is our guy, and we have a high quality backup in case anything happens to him. I know that, like you said, Mayock was super high on Mariota, along with John Gruden doing Gruden's QB camp there. So, all right, Tags, are we missing anything, man? I think we've hit everything that's happened up to this point from a fantasy football perspective.
Yeah, I think we have too. And it's important to note, if anything major happens, guys, we're going to make sure that we get you guys covered in somehow, some way. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. I know I did.
Yeah, man. All right. I am going to go take a nap because I'm exhausted. This has been insane. But hey, guys, that's all the news and updates we have for you today. Make sure to stay tuned to social media, though, Instagram and Twitter, because humble brag here, Fantasy Pros has been on top of it. Shout out to the guys who are working hard with the news desk. We are breaking this news and pushing it out via app notifications faster than a lot of other sites out there. So I want to make sure that they got a shout out here for their great work. And as mentioned earlier, a huge thank you again to Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's show. Make sure you guys go check them out at pristineauction.com. And hey, you're not driving as much now, right? So you're saving a little bit of gas money. Take that money and go get an awesome jersey or signed helmet or autographed photo, whichever looks best in your man cave there. That's it for us today, guys. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.